It is 19 minutes past 11. Now, do not forget non-uniform day. A reminder of a school trip or a quest for a few pounds for a teacher's leaving present. All things you might see in a parent's WhatsApp group. Apparently not quite as civil and well-behaved in all those groups. There can be gossip, misinformation, campaigns about school staff, so much so that some schools are asking lawyers to draw up WhatsApp codes of conduct over fears that teachers could take their employers to court over abuse. Now, Alistair Wood is chief executive of ADAPT, which is an organisation which provides legal support for teachers. Alistair, hello.
Good morning.
Hello, and Robert Lewis is the head of the education group at the leading British law firm Mishcon Duraya. Robert, hello.
Hi, Naga.
Hello. Alistair, let's start with you. You provide legal support for teachers. Have you seen more teachers being touched in terms of these WhatsApp groups?
Yeah, I think it's a part of a broader trend. I think we're seeing a bit of a breakdown in the social contract between home and school. So teachers are increasingly reporting that parental trust has declined. And social media and WhatsApp groups often amplify that mistrust. I mean, most parents are supportive, but it only takes a few voices in a WhatsApp group to stir up suspicion or hostility. In some ways, WhatsApp is the new school gate, but with louder voices and fewer filters. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly difficult for staff to manage, and it spreads fast, often before schools have had a chance to respond and offer some clarity about something that might have come up.
And I'm a bit confused in terms of for staff to respond. Is this because staff are on these WhatsApp groups, or because they hear about what's being posted on these groups?
I think it varies between schools. Often staff won't be on parental WhatsApp groups, and it might be that they first hear about it from a parent rep, from the kind of PTA. And so often, you know, if something's happened in a day and a child goes home and says something, you know, it won't be until the next day that a school might have a chance to respond and provide some clarity. But by that point, you know, it's much easier for us to communicate and things might have blown up just blown up into a much bigger issue than it might not be. And instead of going through traditional complaint routes or having a quick word to the teacher, things can be much harder to fix once they've kind of gone past a certain level.
Had a text on this. WhatsApp groups magnify the groupthink problem. I'm a teacher and struggle with severe depression. I've been told that there have been many complaints about me. There's no way of monitoring this, but these groups do create echo chambers, which influences and drives one-sided views. And dare I say it, discrimination, not wanting to give my name, location or school for obvious reasons. So the impact of this is clear. I quite like this. Parents should be grateful. This is another person messaging saying parents should be grateful that teachers are professional and don't start WhatsApp groups to criticise the poor parenting of their pupils. Robert, head of the education group at Mishcon Duraya, Robert Lewis. Schools asking for legal help, codes of conduct drawn up by lawyers. Does this feel, I mean, it works for you because you're getting work, but does it feel surprising that this is the kind of the next thing you're being asked to do?
Unfortunately, I don't think it is surprising for a number of reasons. I think just technology is allowing people to publish things when normally it would be spoken about outside the school gate, like Alistair has said. I think also that there is something that I'm just picking up Alistair said as well about there being a kind of societal breakdown in trust. And that can sometimes be reflected by how people are raising their concerns about issues to do with school and the type of language they use. And then finally, I think the way the law is dealing with these issues and the way the law is developing, particularly with the new Employment Rights Bill, I think it's placing an onus on schools to make sure that parents use these tools like WhatsApp to communicate, but they understand the kind of implications they can have for school staff, because it could then legally bite back on the school, like that teacher that you mentioned who's texted in, who I'm really sorry to hear is suffering from depression because of what they understand has been written about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they say they struggle with severe depression. I'm not sure they said it was the cause, but obviously it's not going to help regardless. No. In terms of the codes of conduct, I am a bit confused in terms of the law. So a group of parents has a WhatsApp group. It doesn't, All right, let's even take it even a step further. I have a WhatsApp group with a few of my friends, and then my other colleagues who aren't in the group want a code of conduct drawn up for my WhatsApp group in case anything's said about them. Is that how it's working?
It's more about making clear what is or is not acceptable in terms of parental behaviour. And the reason I think why people are becoming more concerned about this is that in the Employment Rights Bill, there will be, once it becomes law, there'll be a requirement on employers to take steps to prevent third-party harassment. So imagine, Nago, in your WhatsApp group, you're saying something which could be considered harassment under the Equality Act about one of your colleagues. Your employer, the BBC, could become liable for that if it's considered that they haven't taken all reasonable steps to prevent you from doing that.
Right, I see. So the schools are doing this to protect themselves in case the teachers say they've been harassed and not supported. Is that a fair interpretation?
I think that's a fair interpretation, but schools also just have a duty of care to their staff. But it's not just staff. You know, things can get written on WhatsApp groups that could have a negative impact on other parents or on students. You know, people might, you know, we've heard instances of, say, parents bullying other parents on WhatsApp groups or people posting inappropriate things about other children.
So in those cases, sorry to interrupt, let's just take the parents. A parent is, inappropriate things have been posted about a parent in that group. There's no comeback for them, is there?
It depends. I mean, if what's been written
about unless
they
take individual action, but there's
they could take
body.
Individual action.
Yeah, there's no body that would protect them, the school, because that's got nothing to do with the school, if you see what I mean.
No, but the school has a relationship with the parents. So there are individual relationships between schools and parents. And so schools stepping in to say, this is the kind of standards of behaviour we expect from our parents might mean that they could get involved if a parent is communicating on and school WhatsApp groups in a damaging way.
And interestingly, I mean, you'll be aware there was this case by Hertfordshire Police, taken by Hertfordshire Police, where they arrested two people, partners, over comments they'd made about their daughter's primary school. And they were held for 11 hours on suspicion of harassment, malicious communications, causing a nuisance on school property after questioning the appointment for a new head teacher, casting aspersions on the chair of government on WhatsApp. No further action taken. And interestingly, the county's Conservative Police and Crime Commissioner has said it shouldn't have become a police matter. So I just wonder, Robert, how far this should go in terms of police involvement.
I don't know the specifics of the Hertfordshire case. Obviously, I've read about it in the news, but it's difficult to understand how the police got involved in that matter from what I've read. But there might be circumstances where it is appropriate to refer something to the police. So, for example, I've had matters where people have made threats of physical violence against school leaders on WhatsApp groups, and our advice was to report those to the police.
And I'll just jump in there.
Please.
Like I said, that's not unusual. There's interesting evidence from TeacherTap, who poll teachers daily. One in five teachers had experienced abusive emails or messages from parents in the last year. And that actually impacts how they act in the classroom.
That's
one
easier.
In three.
That's easier, isn't it? And
yeah.
I know it's not nice getting an abusive email or an abusive text message or personal WhatsApp message, but that's easier to call out and bring action against than a group of people in a WhatsApp group gossiping or spreading rumours amongst themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's, whilst people might consider WhatsApp groups to be private, things get out quite often.
Of course,
often. You know,
of course. Governments are more than aware of that.
I mean, school teachers will often be dealing with some of the fallout from kids' WhatsApp groups or parents' WhatsApp groups of where issues which they can control to an extent within the school are bubbling up and being amplified to bigger issues, and that's taking more and more time from teachers. And it's interesting that teachers reported that one in three teachers said that they had ignored poor behavior to avoid backlash from parents in the last academic year. So there's something not quite right there in that social contract, which I think is the kind of thing which is partly underpinning this issue. And I think how we try and solve that is hard to do, I think, from a legal perspective, as I think we're kind of establishing through some of this discussion. Whereas actually it's about trying to re-establish that mutual respect, which is obviously a really difficult thing to do.
With the code of conduct, just want one more thing made clear. Alistair, maybe you can do this. So a school gets, say, Michigan Dorea to draw up this code of contract. Is it legally binding?
So about half of schools tend to have some sort of home school agreement anyway. I don't think there's much they can do in terms of, you know, they can't really kick a kid out of school because of a parent being misbehaving. And that's not what schools want to do either. You know, they want to role model good behavior. And so where a parent is being challenging and difficult, they want to work with that parent to find out what the problem is and work for a solution. You know, children benefit when parents and teachers are on the same side. And so, you know, I'd say school leaders and teachers are experts at dealing with conflict. It's something they have to do on a daily basis. I would say it's just becoming more challenging and the evidence tends to support that.
It is fascinating. And people are getting in touch. Someone's message saying, I don't blame schools for wanting codes of conduct for these WhatsApp groups. Anyone who's ever stood at the school gates with other parents will know how vicious some of these groups are. The school mums groups seem to bring out the very worst in some people. Anything to strengthen the clique goes, so that if that includes attacking others, they go for it. We will see where this goes. Thank you both so much. Alistair Wood, Chief Executive of ADAPT, an organisation which provides legal support for teachers, and Robert Lewis, Head of the Education Group at the British law firm Michigan Dorea. Both, thank you.
Thank you, Naga.